It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Here's your daily reminder that you can find us other places besides the radio. We do maintain our website at jeffexchange.org. It includes program topics and recordings and a look ahead to future editions of the Jefferson Exchange. And you can find similar information at our Facebook page. And if you are on Facebook yourself and click the like button when you see the Jefferson Exchange page, our information will end up on your daily news feed on a regular basis. The same stuff we send to Facebook, kept short and sweet, 140 characters or less, that makes it appear on Twitter as well. And the Twitter address is at Jeff Exchange. So jeffexchange.org online, on Facebook, and at Jeff Exchange on Twitter, all places to find the Jefferson Exchange online. And you can also take part in our conversations as they happen. 800-838-3760 is the number that works anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, our local number is 541-552-6782, and our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The basic facts of budgeting in Josephine County remain the same. For decades, a major chunk of funding came from timber sales on federal lands shared with 18 Western Oregon counties. Then timber sales slowed considerably, Congress gave makeup money in ever smaller amounts, and then that stopped. That's why the sheriff's office is the sheriff and a handful of patrol deputies in the field, and why other county operations have been pared to the bone or dropped. The Josephine County Fairgrounds had to develop a new way of doing business, and the method is showing some success. Simon Hare is one of the commissioners and at the moment the chair of the Board of Commissioners in Josephine County, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Commissioner, thanks for joining us once again.
Yes, good morning, Jeffrey.
So for the folks who lost track, what is the current general shape of Josephine County finances?
Well, I think you framed it pretty well, especially given the history on how we relied on timber dollars. We have a very low tax rate in Josephine County. So the fiscal situation is continuing to be a challenge, and we're seeing that across the board in most counties in the state of Oregon that have relied on timber dollars of the past. Everybody's starting to feel that crunch.
And that is 18 of them altogether, the ONC counties.
Including Multnomah, Lane County is one of our larger ONC counties, and it's seen serious reductions in its public safety system. So you framed it really, really well in the introduction.
Why does it seem to hit Josephine County that much harder, though? I'm sure that's something that people in Lane and Jackson counties wonder.
Well, it is. Not all counties are the same. We're all pretty different. We do have the lowest tax rate in the state that funds our general fund at 58 cents per thousand. But that has been one of the contributing factors to our economic, maybe a lack of planning for the future by previous boards. There were times when we spent money that some would say wasn't fiscally prudent. So planning for these hard times. But eventually, even in Jackson County, they're going to run out of their reserves, much like Douglas and Lane County, and they're going to have to come up with another system of funding the systems of government, or we're going to have to start cutting trees again.
What was laid out specifically for the fairgrounds and the county fair for the fiscal year starting July 1?
Well, it actually goes back to pretty much when I took office about 3 years ago. I came on board and there were three departments that were given a mandate by previous boards that they needed to be in the black. They needed to pay for themselves. They needed to not rely on general fund dollars. And that was public health, parks, and the fairgrounds. And so the fair has had this pretty much a mandate for a number of years that they needed to find revenue streams that paid for their operation. And they've worked really hard over the last 3 years, and I think we see some success, some light at the end of the tunnel. And our projection is that they're going to end the fiscal year in the black come June of 2014.
Now, and you point out that this was prior to your time on the Board of Commissioners, but health, I can understand we get some grants and a lot of other operating money from above, from federal and state sources for sure, but parks seems like probably the hardest one to try to run in the black.
You would think, and actually they've had the greatest successes. I've been the liaison, so the board divides up certain responsibilities, and the Parks Department has really knuckled down and become incredibly frugal, very efficient with their funds. We've also shifted to a fee-based kind of a process for using our parks. We provide 80% of the public access to the Rogue River in Josephine County, which is no small deal. And so we've instituted day use fees and annual permit to use those parks. It's pretty reasonable, but it's been contributing in a significant way. And they ended the fiscal year last year in the black to over $100,000 in the good. So Parks has done a great job, and it's almost kind of a model that the fairgrounds is starting to come along with and implement.
So what were some of the things that the folks at the fairgrounds did to try to put themselves into the black to make sure that they were covering their operating costs with income?
Yeah, a large portion of that is to reduce the fixed costs. So they've reduced the utility bills. The number of staff out there has been dropped dramatically. They've got more efficient use of staff coming in only when needed for special events. And frankly, reevaluating the price and the rates that they have charged for the facilities out there. They've been basically subsidized for years, and now they're kind of having to, users of the fairgrounds, much like the parks, are having to pay their own way.
Does that mean a substantial increase in rentals, for example, for some of the buildings and venues?
It does. There's been an increase. It's been kind of over time. Hopefully it isn't a sticker shock to anybody, but that's been a significant kind of contributing factor to the bottom line of making it for the fair and the parks.
Is there a bit of deferred maintenance going on, though? I wonder if in the process of trying to make sure that you're trying to cover the cost of operating, if things that get cut to the bone include things like building maintenance, painting, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Anybody who's been to the fairgrounds has probably noticed that we've had to put a tarp, a plastic system over the arena that is an old arena, but it's still structurally sound. And so we have been deferring roof maintenance and doing what we could on the cheap to kind of limp along. But if you could do a back of the envelope sketch, that there's a couple $1 million worth of deferred maintenance out at the fairgrounds right now that needs to take place for the fairgrounds to have a viable future. But we're kind of looking for them to have better fiscal times to start putting money back into the infrastructure out there.
So it's not just a matter of being in the black. It's being in the black with a bit of a cushion that you can throw into reserve for things like fixing the roofs.
Well, in a plan for the future of the fair, one of the reasons we've seen this downturn and it hitting the fairgrounds harder is there's a definite transition probably across the state. All fairs are actually having a little bit of a fiscal challenge that I'm aware of in the state of Oregon and maybe across the country. But the general sentiment about fairs is kind of, it's in a point of flux, I think, in society. So having to reinvent themselves and do it to where they're in the black and serving the need of the public, that's going to be the fair's challenge going forward.
Simon Hare is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is a Josephine County Commissioner and currently the board chair. You can join us at the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about Josephine County finances generally and how they affect the fairgrounds and the county fair specifically. Phone numbers here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In Josephine and Jackson counties, the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned attitudes toward county fairs in a bit of a state of flux. I wonder if the fairgrounds and the county fair itself are important for reasons that go beyond the financial, in the sense that they're something of a friendly face that the county puts to the public. And I mean, do they have a more important role than just for being there and making some money?
Well, I think it's an economic driver for the community, but you're absolutely right. I grew up going to the fairgrounds. I haven't missed a fair in probably 30 years, and it's been a big part of a lot of the lives of the youth in the community. I know that 4-H and FFA is a program that relies heavily on the use of the fairgrounds for a number of different things throughout the year, not just at the fair 1 week. So it's definitely a part of our culture. Something I noticed traveling over to the eastern part of the state, where communities seem to be pretty tight. A commissioner friend of mine over there was mentioning he sees it as really the agriculture community, being that tie to the land, tie to the community, and bringing things together in a positive way moving forward. And I feel like the agriculture community in Josephine County is changing a little bit. They're certainly older than they used to be, with maybe just a little less energy. And I don't see it being replaced by enough of the younger population, the younger generation, to come in and take up the slack. There's fewer of those than there needs to be.
I know we've talked to programs that do some outreach to try to bring new people into the farming business, because the number I saw recently was fairly shocking, that most of the family farmers in the country, the average age is above 60 now.
Yes, and I would say that's probably even low in Josephine County. I go to the Young Farmers and the Farm Bureau meetings, and there's a fairly senior population. There's a couple of young people that come, but more often than not, it's the people that I've seen working these farms for 30-plus years, and they were not young when I was a kid. So that's definitely the case.
So, Simon Hare, until a few weeks ago, was there some doubt that the Josephine County Fair would even happen this year?
Well, the Board of Commissioners has been real champions for a 100th fair. I think it's a no small deal that we have a 100th fair in Josephine County. There's also something to be said about positive momentum and making sure that the public's aware that we are no longer in a situation where we have the luxury to choose for things that are considered nice to have in Josephine County anymore. We're at a point, having shut down the juvenile shelter and detention facility, which was a model, not more than a year and a half ago. And so we've had to make some pretty tough decisions. Previous boards have, and this one going forward. So, you know, it's no small decision when there's fiscal impact to the general fund, potentially, for a program to go forward. At some point, we are going to have to, you know, say yay or nay to all of these departments that rely on general funds.
That must be an interesting set of decisions, though, because particularly when you're talking about, well, we still give a little money to the county fair, at least it did recently, versus having to shut down a juvenile facility, which generally was acknowledged, even outside the county, as a model for a well-run juvenile facility.
Absolutely. I think other than the fact that the doors are shut, the structure is a model in the state, and we've had to let go of our CASA, our court-appointed special advocates program. There's been a number of things that have been on the chopping block for years, decisions that we've had to make that sometimes the public doesn't always recognize, you know, that these are the kinds of decisions when you have limited dollars. How do we put those to the best and highest use of meeting what is a fundamental service of county government? And that's keeping our jail doors open and as many patrol officers out there as possible and our district attorney's office. Nothing happens justice-wise if we don't have a robust district attorney's office. So those are the decisions that we've had to make. And like you said, that these extensions of forest payments are concluding, and we're going to have to make more of those decisions without an alternative revenue stream in the future.
Without an alternative revenue stream?
Well, we either need to start cutting trees again, or probably raise taxes. The other element, people have voiced that the fairground sits on about 50 acres of some of the most prime real estate. And I always want to see Josephine County having a fairground. But is that the most prudent place to have one when perhaps there's a revenue stream to be generated off of that property? And we've also got 30,000 acres of forest lands that the county owns and manages. Are we doing the best job of managing those timberlands for revenue to help support some of these vital services?
So, Commissioner Hare, have there been any discussions with people in the real estate business about the potential value of the fairgrounds if they were to be sold, at least in part, if not in whole?
Well, I don't think it takes an expert to look around Josephine County and see that there's a substantial amount of real estate that is sitting idle and has been for a number of years. So it's not exactly something you can just pull off the shelf and start generating a revenue stream off of. It may be a decade or so down the road, but the time to think about it and explore that as an option, even if it's just for part of the fair, not for all of it, that we start looking at that. It's just a prudent means of managing the assets that Josephine County has. So there have been some discussions, but they've been pretty limited, and they've been going on far before I joined the board.
Simon Hare again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is a Josephine County Commissioner and the current chair of the Board of Commissioners. And you can join our discussion as we talk about county finances generally and the county fairgrounds more specifically. There will be a 100th Josephine County Fair in August of this year. You can join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. The fair is in August, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And we're pretty excited about it. It's going to be a fair to remember, that's for sure.
But is there a chance that this could be the 100th and then there wouldn't be a 101st?
Well, I think, like I said previously, this is going to come under scrutiny if they can't rely on general fund dollars, and that's been the directive from the Board of Commissioners for some time. So as long as they're in the black, we hope to have fairs continue. But like parks and everything else, they've got to make it. They've got to make it on their own. And I think people, the volunteers and the staff, Mary Groves has done a fantastic job as the interim fair manager. She was a fair board member with some financial background and stepped up and decided to lead and has done a really great job.
So what is the model of financial structure that the fairgrounds is using right now? Is it anything like what's going on with the libraries where they're operating essentially outside of the county domain?
To a degree, exactly. Yeah, there still is a tie on insurance, and the employees out there are county employees, so it's a lot tighter than the libraries. But it's definitely moving in that direction as far as having to make it or break it on their own. There's just so few general fund dollars, and we contribute the lion's share of that to the criminal justice system as a number one priority in Josephine County. So I don't expect them to move to the degree of the libraries, but they will need to be kind of self-sufficient, so to speak.
We haven't talked numbers very much at all. When we talk about general fund dollars, what's the general fund balance at the beginning of a fiscal year for the current fiscal year, for example, versus, say, 10 years before?
Well, we generate $3.5 to $3.7 million in general fund tax dollars. That's all. Some people get confused when they see that the county collects anywhere between $64 and $71 million. But we do that for every school district, taxing district, bond. That's what we collect as a service for free for those districts. But we only keep $3.5 to $3.7 million of those dollars. And that's all that we have the discretion over 100%. Now, we get a lot of state and federal dollars to operate our programs, but those are diminishing. And the big number that we used to get from either cutting trees or federal payments hovered right around $10 to $14 million a year. So we've had to take a pretty significant hit and do some reductions over the last several years.
From $10 to $14 million from the, and then that is just gone.
Well, we got one last payment, and it was in a very interesting piece of legislation that Senator Wyden provided in the Senate. Helium Restoration Bill is what it was called. Small section in Section 10 provided for about $4.5 to $5 million going forward.
You said Helium Restoration Bill. That actually was the title, right? Yeah.
That's the title. It's no longer secure rural schools outright. It's got to be plugged into something because the rest of the country doesn't understand why they're paying for basic services for 18 ONC counties in Western Oregon. The history is lost on even most people here locally.
But, right, and of course it's because the lands were no longer going to be paying property taxes that the Fed said, okay, we'll give you some of the timber receipts from them.
Yeah, and that started in 1937, but it's different than payment in lieu of taxes, and that's our PILT payment that a lot of the rest of the country does receive, PILT dollars, payment in lieu of taxes on federal lands. This one was specifically set aside because the lands were not put into private ownership like they had been anticipated for creation of the railroad. A lot of history there, and it's important that people know why we're a little bit different when we're advocating for those extended payments.
Absolutely. Let's go to Dale in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Commissioner Simon Hare.
This is Dale Matthews. I've got two points. First one is there's only so much donations, only so many people, only so much money out there for donations. by the county putting the full force pressure of the county influence behind this project, that means then that other projects such as the library or such as animal shelter, etc., need to go a little bit begging while this campaign continues to please support the fair. And the fair can't continue to take money away from those groups forever because with the county's help, because they're going to need help again. And then the second point is that now the fair buildings that can be rented out, they're setting their prices lower than local competitors. They're supported by the government and then encouraged to set their prices lower than local private enterprise. Well, that's government competing with private enterprise. What's good about that?
All right. Thanks for the call, Dale. Appreciate it. Commissioner?
Well, I think both of Mr. Matthews' points are kind of steering things in the wrong direction and a little misleading. The first point being that the fair is taking money from other good causes is absolutely wrong. People elect when they're making their contributions to give it to wherever they choose. And I don't know that people are substituting dollar for dollar where they would normally have contributed to. The second point about competing with private enterprise, we have kind of a standing rule, and it's probably across the board and in many counties, that whenever the county provides a service, we don't compete either on a cost basis or otherwise with private enterprise. So they're actually mandated to put their rates at market rate. And so we try to do that as much as possible so we don't undermine the private sector.
Now, we've been talking about donations here. So there have been donations given to keep the fairgrounds open. Is that right?
It's been about 55 from private contribution. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's 20,000 that was recently given by the Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association to fund a 100th fair.
All right. But again, the Josephine County Fair and Fairgrounds need to make sure they continue to operate in the black. Otherwise, the future could be grim.
Yeah, well, we're going to see this reoccurring cycle in the Parks Department and Fairgrounds for the foreseeable future until they're able to either develop a system that's foolproof, which is unlikely, or a reserve that kind of keeps them out of the horizon of the Budget Committee and the Board of Commissioners.
And Simon Hare, is there a chance for another tax vote this year?
You know, I think this board is pretty much on the same page that a tax increase is not going to come from the board. If the people want to see one, it's going to have to be sponsored and proposed by them. And so I have heard that there is a petition circulating for a May election, and we'll just have to see how that works out.
All right, but not something the commissioners will initiate. Simon Hare is the chair of the Josephine County Board of Commissioners. Thank you so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange. That'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. In hour number two, we will talk about unemployment payments and why Congress didn't continue those and what the prospects are for another extension.